You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's a gas!
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gorney in the morning. Dom at the controls. Keep that up. Keep it up. I want to hear the gas.
Yeah. Here we go.
There you go.
That's I feel better when that happens.
7:35.
Clear to partly cloudy skies this morning. Look for rain this afternoon. High near 50 today. That's it. And it's going to be really windy tonight with the showers and moving on through. And then weather... it just clears up and gets nicer for the rest of the week.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. This time of year when it's fall, you know, the leaves are changing. You want to travel around the state. Who better to talk to this time of year than Tom and Christy Manis? They are the authors of a couple of books. One of them is Secret Wisconsin. Yeah. What's the other book titled?
Historic Wisconsin Roadsides.
There we go.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's good to have you back again.
Two great books. Guys. Really have to check them out.
We love coming to see you guys.
You got up at what hour did you start traveling from where you live?
Well, we left Eau Claire at 3:30.
3:30. Hey, well, thanks for making the effort to come down here. Talk to us for 20 minutes.
It's always fun.
We could always stream you in here, but next time we're going to set up a tent in the lobby so you can, you know,
you
camp
here,
out
like
a little bit overnight.
Ago.
It's a great idea.
Roaming around the office, did you find anything out there? Did you find some snacks and some coffee?
Somebody needs to restock the Snickers.
Now they do, right?
Okay. I agree.
I only found one.
All right.
Okay.
Well, at least there was one left for you.
Okay.
But now let's get to some of the, you know, besides just the books that you have here, you've got some new things for us here. And I believe this is one of the great times of the year for me anyway. I love Halloween. Yeah. I love ghost stories. I love all of that, the trappings. Unfortunately, we don't get many ghost guests in here. You know, I wish we could at least talk about spirit world and you know, hunting them down and stuff like that. But you've got something for us, right?
Where do you go if you want some
haunting
kind of stuff?
When it comes to hauntings.
Yeah. Well, there's this unique place in, do you say it, Wanawak?
Yeah, Wanawak. Yeah. Get right close to that mic there, Christy.
The spiritual camp.
Oh, sure. Oh,
Are you familiar with this?
I've heard about this. Yes, my sister lives in Reedsburg, and they've been talking about this for a couple of decades. There's a spiritual camp up there.
Does she call it Spook Hill? That's what the locals call it.
Spook Hill. Okay.
Wow. Now, see, I never knew about it, and I just learned about it.
Well, Gordy never tells anybody anything.
Well, I don't know much about it, but I've heard about it. I don't know what they really do
there. Let's find
out. I guess they have seances.
Yes.
And... if the spirits are coming, that's where they're going for the most part.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the music.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Thank you.
You can stay there. They have rustic cabins. I'm not going to stay there.
But one of the cabins is lucky number 13.
Oh. Ooh.
And it has a light bulb on the door that has been glowing steadily for like 30 to 40 years.
Yes.
Wow.
So they call it the living spirit.
That is scary.
I'm a scared.
Yeah. I wonder if my dad said he stayed at a motel where it was haunted as well. And, you know, it was a pain in the ass dealing with ghosts, but, you know, he did.
Now, I don't know, is this Wanawak, is this open to the public?
Yeah.
Or
is
this
still
go there?
It is. Yes. You can go and walk the grounds. It's free. Supposedly, spirits live in the forest.
Yeah.
See, you guys going? I'm not.
I would do it in a half second.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, have you been down to the Orpheum?
Yes.
You know that's haunted, right?
Right next to us here?
Yeah.
Yeah, right down the block. That's haunted.
Yeah. There's supposedly a teenage usher fell from the balcony and still can be seen sitting in a seat when there's nobody there.
Yeah.
But if you walk in and see him, he disappears. The projectionist from way back when committed suicide in the projection room.
Oh, jeez.
And he haunts the place. And the way he does it is he moves things. So there's things that are constantly moving around.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, that's right down the road.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah. I've seen a few movies at the Orpheum. And
I have,
and,
too.
And I would have, you know, sometimes the sound and the visuals are so bad that I feel like I've died. And I think my spirit still haunts some of the seating area. But they have improved the sound and audio and everything, and that's a beautiful theater
now. Is it open again?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it's a very active theater.
Yeah. They have comedians in there. They have special guests all the time down there.
They had Elvis Costello the other night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they have lots of big acts there.
But you can see the ghost of me.
Okay.
Still traumatized by some of the audio of the movies I've seen.
How was the focus? Was the focus okay?
The focus was bad, too. It was not a good theater at the point.
Now up near us, just outside of Eau Claire, there is an elk mound. If you're driving on the interstate, it's on the north side. You can see a big flag. It's a two-story castle with a lookout on the top.
Wow.
But it's in our Secret Wisconsin book. But this Elk Mound Castle is what it's called. It was dedicated to dead postal employees. And what they did is, underneath the flagpole, they have every single rural route. I think, if I remember right, there might have been 13. Don't hold me to that number. But they have dirt from each of those rural routes underneath the flag.
Wow, nice.
And it has an incredible view. You can, you know, walk up to roof, you know, look it out. But it's also rumored to be haunted. The rumor is a family was there and a ghost or somebody, as they were walking down the stairs, pushed the wife down the stairs.
Oh.
And they witnessed it. And they said, well, yeah, there was nobody around, but it was obvious that something pushed her. And it has, you know, weird sounds at night, also weird lights at night, screams in the woods, you know, things like that. So
where is this?
It's an elk mound. It's just west of Eau Claire, a few miles.
Okay.
Right off the interstate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's scary.
Okay.
All right.
Well, anything dealing with postal employees is scary.
Matt, are you listening?
Yeah, our caller Matt works for the post office. Okay. Next, what else you got?
Well,
up around Baraboo, I know they have a lot of ghosts too. We've talked about that a number of times.
Well, isn't there a bar? That's pretty well haunted. It's like the most haunted place in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it, though.
Oh, man.
Is that near Baraboo?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. Okay.
Well, down by Delavan.
Yeah.
Delavan. What's that?
There's the Circus Cemetery.
In Delavan?
Right. Crown Cemetery?
There's two cemeteries. And both of them have, you know, I mean, it was a huge... wintering home for circus performers and stuff. And so both of the cemeteries have a lot of circus performers there, and each one is marked with a sign. You know, it tells about that performer and the name and so forth. But it's also haunted.
Mm.
Now that's scary. If you think about it, clowns haunting.
I know. That is a frightening thought right there, you know.
Spring Grove Cemetery.
And St. Andrews is the other one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I there was a movie way back when in the 60s called Circus of Horrors. Yes, ooh. I remember that. Yeah. And then, of course, there's Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
That is actually a really great movie.
Okay. I never would have guessed.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be something like the Sharknado movie.
It isn't. But the clowns are just really the scariest looking clowns you'll ever see.
Well, I don't like any clowns. So I don't want to see a scary clown.
So
I'm not going to see it.
Looking at this Delavan Cemetery, and they're talking about, people have claimed to see ghosts of acrobats, clowns, and even horses wandering through the cemetery at night.
Yeah, if you want a unique haunted experience,
that's
definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Delavan Spring Grove Cemetery.
And those are in our Historic Wisconsin Roadsides book.
And I believe that they pass out 3D glasses at the gate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking of 13 Ghosts. They had a circus performer who put his head in the mouth of a lion.
Yeah.
And the lion chomped down on his head.
Didn't work out that time.
Well, ironically, at the park, Tower Park in Delavan,
yeah.
they have a bubbler. That's the mouth of a lion.
Well,
so, oh, really?
See, there, you put your, yeah, yeah, put your head in that.
It's kind of wow. scary now.
Yeah, now, now I'm not even going to do that.
Okay.
And you know, it's obviously, you know, a fall. What else you got for
well,
us?
Have here? You guys been to the Wonder Bar?
Yes.
It recently closed.
Where's that?
That was on Olin and
John Nolan. Right here in town.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one. Okay. Yeah, tell us about that.
That was a really cool place.
It was.
Right yeah. near the Coliseum.
Right.
Yeah, it looks really cool. We haven't been there, but it looks really
cool. It's a really
cool.
old building. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a lot of history.
Yeah.
It was the gangster. Yeah, they bought it in 1929.
Mm-hmm. So it was a competitor for, who was it? The gangster in Chicago.
Al Capone.
Al Capone, thank you. Oh, yeah. How can I forget that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a competitor for him.
Really?
In the North Chicago area, well, he sent his brother up to open the North Tower. And so it had, you know, if you remember, it had the turrets on both sides.
Yes.
And they had little slots for the Tommy guns, the Tommy machine guns.
Yeah,
they
really?
Really easy. And there's a lot of things that happened at this Wonder Bar. One is underneath it, it said that there was a tunnel that went to Lake Mendota where a lot of people supposedly lost their lives that crossed them.
Hmm.
And also, one of the brothers disappeared, and they think that he's buried or was buried in the walls on the second floor next to the fireplace.
So it was notoriously haunted for years until it shut down. And
major mafia names also visited. Babyface Nelson. I mean, all the big names.
Oh, man.
They used to frequent.
Now, I think I've passed by there. It's still there. It's just vacant, right?
Yeah,
right.
It's
vacant. Yeah, it's boarded up.
Yeah.
We're talking with Tom and Christy Manis. You guys travel all over Wisconsin. Getting some texts here about it was the old Baraboo Inn in Baraboo. That's
okay,
the bar.
Yeah.
And that's still there, and that still opens for haunted tours, and you can still drink there, too. And the Church Key in Madison, just down the street on University Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Another one. Never thought about that one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anything else this time of year as far as, the leaves are changing. We can talk about more haunted things if you have them. But
we have all kinds of stuff we can talk about.
Well, this time of year, it's the leaves are changing. Where I know a lot of people head to Door County, but there are other places, of course, everywhere around Wisconsin.
Yeah,
check out the beautiful
foliage. And if you know us, you know that we like the things that don't necessarily show up on the first few pages of Google search. Like,
right.
You know, the Dells, Door Counties, you know, things like that.
Well, let's go a little deeper.
I found one. You know, it's the boy with the leaking boot in Stevens
Point.
Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah, we just love weird things like that. You know, tell us about that.
Well, Stevens Point bought the boy with the leaky boot in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And
what is it? What is a boy with a leaky boot?
It's a statue.
We've got a minute here, but keep going.
We'll... It's a statue.
Yeah.
And it pours water out. And supposedly it was from like the Civil War or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Stevens Point got it. It was in disrepair. It used to be in the center of Stevens Point. The fire department took it over, put it in front of fire station number one.
Okay. Downtown.
Yep. Yeah. And the original is in the basement because with the campus there, people kept stealing it, and decapitating it,
darn
whatnot.
Students.
So they put.
I mean, come on.
I know. So May through August, it's out. Other times, it's in the basement.
They have to bring it in during school.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is such a cool thing to see.
Right.
I'm going to have to look for that.
All right. Can you stick around a couple more minutes here? All right. We're going to keep Tom and Christy with us. We'll be back with more of John and Gordy right after this on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Great song. I love this. Tom and Christy Manis are with us today. They have a couple of books out, Secret Wisconsin and Roadsides. What is it?
Historic Wisconsin
Historic
Roadsides.
Okay.
That was close.
Yeah. Don't have it in front of me.
92.7 WMDX. A few more minutes here with Tom and Christy. So let's talk a little bit more about... We mentioned yo-yos. We were talking about yo-yos during the break, and you brought a yo-yo with us to remind us.
That's right. You know, everybody loves a yo-yo.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, it's a wonderful story about Dunkin' Yo-Yos.
It is. From 1946 to 1964, they were made in a little town in northwestern Wisconsin called Luck.
Luck?
Luck.
Mm-hmm. Population 900.
900.
Wow.
Everybody worked there, and they made about 70,000 yo-yos a day.
A day?
Yeah. A day. 20 million a year during those years.
Now, this is before cell phones.
So obviously.
We had nothing else to do.
Play with your yo-yo.
Play with our yo-yos. Mm-hmm. I have a huge collection of Dunkin' yo-yos. I was really into it. I was not that good, but I really tried to be that good. Yeah. Some lit up. They had sparkles in it. Oh. Of course, they went up there in Luck, Wisconsin because of the wood.
They did, because they were made of wood at the time.
Sure. Yeah.
And maple is what they wanted, the hardwood. So that was the ideal wood for the yo-yos.
And the reason they shut down is they started to lose popularity. Mm. So a company, Flambeau, bought them.
Oh.
And made them out of the plastic that it is today. And I believe Flambeau.
Flambeau is in Baraboo, I believe.
Yeah, Wisconsin company.
Oh, yeah. It's still a big company.
They make tackle boxes and
all kinds of
stuff like that.
Yeah. Huh.
There's a museum there. You can go see the museum.
The world's largest yo-yo is in the museum.
It's actually, it's a
small... Where, in Luck? Or
In Luck. In Luck.
The world's how big is the largest yo-yo? Pretty darn big.
Okay. Waist high, maybe.
Yes.
Now, the thing is, they were made out of wood initially, but wasn't it Duncan? What's his first name?
Don Duncan.
Don Duncan. Wasn't he in the ads for Dunkin' Yo-Yo for a while?
He also invented or created the Good Humor.
Good Humor.
Yeah, with the ice cream.
Yes.
And the ice cream.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's really something else too. Yeah.
And they moved the factory from Chicago to Luck because they could find workers for one, but it's also right there where the wood was.
Yeah. And then I was wondering, did they change the plastic and the plastics and the acrylics while he was still in charge of it, or was just Flambeau at that point?
It was after that.
All right, just had to know. No one cares.
No, come on, we care, right?
Wow. Yeah, we were talking about tops too. At the same time, they had the yo-yo craze going on. We had
marbles,
tops. Now you said the yo-yo is still very popular. Where is it popular still?
In the Philippines.
Okay. All right.
It's crazy popular in the Philippines.
Really?
Wow. And they're doing all the tricks.
Yeah. Why would that be?
Really,
that's
keeping
weird.
It going.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anything else? We got a couple of more minutes here.
Else?
Oh, cozy in.
That's what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Luck Yo-Yo Museum is in our book, Secret Wisconsin, as is the Cozy Inn in Janesville. And the Cozy Inn is a Chinese restaurant that everybody drives by, you know, every day. But it's the second oldest Chinese restaurant in the same location in the United States. And it's also the oldest Chinese restaurant in Wisconsin.
Wow.
But the thing is, we called it traveling egg rolls because people they're notorious for ordering, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, even 100 egg rolls at a time.
What?
To take back on the plane when they go home or in the car on a road trip in coolers. And they're that famous. And we actually had a friend of ours in Northwest Wisconsin. She came down here and bought 48, put them in the cooler because she's doing everything in the book. Or they're doing everything in the book.
Wow.
Okay.
And they invited us over for dinner and shared them. But the story not only is about the egg rolls. The owner's mom was a famous Chinese chef at Toy's Chinese Restaurant in Milwaukee. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, sure. Mm.
Cool. I think it was a 6-story building, but that's also in her new book coming up in the spring. But she wanted to buy a restaurant, so she found the one and knew the people that owned the Janesville restaurant, the Cozy Inn. She bought it. Her kids grew up there as teenagers. But an interesting fact with this is Tom Fong and his wife Amanda, Tom is the son, they run it now. And his dad was one of six Chinese survivors from the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that he was the last person rescued from the wreck. They found him floating on a door, strapped on what they think was a stateroom door, but he was strapped on with a belt. So there's a lot of history there. But the thing is, when you pass something, you have to look deeper and go, is there a story here? Sometimes there's not, but oftentimes things you pass every day have a story that would blow you away.
That's really interesting because it's there and you discovered it in some way, shape, or form because other people have discovered it. How are the egg rolls, though?
Oh, they're incredible.
They're very good.
They must be really good.
Are they big, small,
long? Oh, they're
big.
They're big. Okay. Yeah. They're handmade every day.
No kidding.
Right. Yeah. It's a two-day recipe, and they have a hint of peanut butter. That's kind
of a two-day recipe?
Yeah.
It takes two days to make?
It does. It's a family recipe that takes 2 days.
Wow. Okay.
And it's not like the process when you get down and you get off the truck. Oh, it's actual, you know, cabbage and pork and stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you want to see more about it, we do a show with NBC or TMJ4 NBC Milwaukee, where we take Stephanie Brown around to these places and introduce them to them. And Cozy Inn was one of them. So you
Very
can
cool.
learn
That's
more
great.
About
we'll
it.
Have to look for that. Definitely.
All right. Well, we're out of time, but Tom and Chris, you have a new book coming out in the spring?
Yeah, tell us about that.
What's the name of it?
It's Lost Treasures of Wisconsin.
Okay.
It's about things that aren't here anymore, but everybody has good memories of.
And people want to find out more. How do they find out? You Facebook?
You can go to, Tom and Christy Maness on Instagram. Our website is smalltownplussize.com. You can order the books from our publisher, Reedy Press. Just do a search for us. You'll find us everywhere.
Very good. Tom and Christy Maness. Christy with a K if you're Googling, okay?
That's right.
Right? Okay.
And Reedy Press is R-E-E-D-Y.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Come back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah. Always fun.
Really?
Wild,
you want to come back tomorrow? Or?
Yeah, sure. No.
Just drive back down.
Okay. Oh, we love coming down.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Stephanie Miller is next. Tomorrow on our show, Mike McCabe will join us because it's Wednesday. Okay?
All right.
Have a great day, John.
All right. I will.
Okay.
Dumb. See you later.
So long, everybody. So long.
Christy, Tom, good day.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning. I get so wrapped up in that song. I love it.
The American dream is killing us all. We've got sunshine today, highs in the mid to upper 60s. Time for us to talk with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, guys. Pretty good weekend, though.
Boy, it really was. I mean, what a great get-together out at the Capitol on Saturday. Just fantastic. I was out there, and Gordy missed it because he was in the process of moving, but so many people turned out. So many costumed characters turned out for this protest. I want to get your input on that. What do you think of turning up in costumes for these protests? I mean... Well, yeah, I'm trying to figure out a better way to protest.
Really?
And I'm thinking costumes is the way to at least, you know, present a different kind of image, right? I mean, instead of the smoke bombs and the flash bombs and everything else, you know, when you have a costume character, it lessens the impact of those
Well,
events.
When the cops are hauling off a unicorn, you know, that's with a sign.
You know there's something wrong with
there's
them,
There's something
right?
weird
It's not
going
the
on.
Unicorn.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes, and especially if it's, shall we say, something or someone that we treat with affection.
Yeah.
Like a unicorn, like a princess.
Right.
Or a giant bee. I like the giant bee.
Yeah. Dinosaur. Yeah.
Or Gandalf the Wizard.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It was a great protest. You've been through a lot of protests yourself here in Madison. I mean, we are the protest city. What are some of the things that you remember way back when that seemed to work and things that didn't work exactly?
Well, I think the important thing to remember is this, that protests generally are important to invigorate the base. They give us energy, they give us the momentum to go on to do other things. Protests don't necessarily expand the base. They do energize it. And so what you do, you don't hop from protest to protest. what you do is you have protests, then you do the work of expanding the base, more protests, expand the base. There's almost a rhythm to it. And as it progresses, you see political change.
Yeah.
You do see end to wars. You do see legislation passed that produces social and economic justice. And so, now it's time to double down and go out there and expand the base.
You know,
it was a great weekend across the country.
You know what they're doing now?
Internationally.
Oh yeah, internationally too. Yes, but what they're doing now is they're creating more of a show. You know, with some of the weaponry, with some of the smoke bombs, all of that stuff creates a show for the administration. You know, and it creates confusion among the protesters, and no one knows what's really going on. And they can present it any way they want. They can spin the images in the way that they want to because of those show busy type of situations they want to create and put out on social media.
Well, I think one of the things, especially as long as the protests stay peaceful, and including in peaceful, I include disruption. This disruption has its role.
Mm-hmm.
I draw the line at trashings. But one of the things that, going back particularly to the Nixon administration, and now we see it with the Trump administration, is you have repressive governments that do not know how to democratically respond to those protests. And that's works our advantage because that does highlight the fact that they are emperors, they are kings, that they have no regard for the other branches of government, the legislative body, and particularly the courts. Now, the big challenge for us as Americans now is, will the courts stand by the Constitution?
Mm-hmm.
The packing of the Supreme Court with Trump appointees, obviously, is, I think, the most terrifying thing we've seen in the history of this nation. The combination of a president who believes that his will is more important, more powerful than the other two branches of government.
Well, Amy Coney Barrett, she did an interview, and she mentioned that that President Trump can do almost anything he wants. He can defy the court, the Supreme Court, if he wants, because they have no way to stop him. They don't have police powers to stop him. So
yes,
that's an amazing thing to say.
Yes.
Well, it's the reality, and it goes back to one of the very first Supreme Court rulings, Mayberry versus Madison. We talked about that, where after the Supreme Court decision, the president said, in effect, they made that ruling, let them enforce it. Sort of, jokingly mocking the fact that the Supreme Court has no other way of enforcing its decisions,
right? Yeah.
Other than the will of the president and the Congress to abide by the rulings.
That's right.
We're talking with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. Paul, before we went on the air, you mentioned a New York Times article that caught your eye, basically talking about how there's maybe a lane for more moderate candidates in our near future. Tell us more about that.
It's an interesting article this morning, which discusses the fact that while there's not a lot of competitive races, it's an opinion piece. It's entitled "America Still Has a Political Center and It's the Key to Winning." And while there aren't that many competitive congressional districts or even Senate districts, there are some. And the key to winning And they use some Wisconsin examples here, the elections of Tony Evers and re-election the last time of Tammy Baldwin. The point is, you don't have to be as left-wing and progressive in these more moderate congressional districts as, say, an AOC or a Mark Pocan, that if your party wants to build a majority, speaking in this case of the Democrats, let's elect more moderate people who will be there, maybe not on every issue, but certainly in enough to control a House of Congress. And you see it in two different ways. First, in terms of more moderate people in these swing districts, but also they use the example of Tammy Baldwin, who's got a plethora of positions on issues, and in certain parts of Wisconsin, for example, maybe she ought to talk about some of the efforts that she's made in terms of combating unnecessary government regulation, rather than speaking about some of her more militant positions in regards to social and economic justice.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good idea, yeah.
So that middle lane is pretty much wide open for candidates like
yes, it
can,
is.
They yeah, can drive she, through there.
Yeah, Tammy's been out there. Yeah, go ahead.
Read a portion of the article.
Mm-hmm.
And the author of this piece suggests the strategy and then writes, left-wing Democrats and right-wing Republicans have spent years trying to tell a different story. They claim that reaching out to swing voters is overrated. And then they're wrong. But they do have an element of truth in what they're saying. And the author's point is this. There's not as many swing districts in this country that are left to be competitive. But there's still enough swing districts for either party to create a majority.
Hmm.
So good luck to all of us.
Yeah, I know. I'm contemplating what that exactly could mean.
Well, I just wonder if moderate and I guess we wouldn't know until they try, but moderate and middle candidates do, you know, how do they do in fundraising? Because things are so divided now. And it seems like big money is driving the train still.
Yes, that's for sure.
But isn't there a youth movement as well that we're looking at? You know, getting fresh new faces in, new blood in the Democratic Party?
I think that's critical as well. And we've seen that in some of these instances where we've got challenges. We have challenges to some well-entrenched incumbents. Republicans have absolutely no problem throwing some of their older, shall we say, more moderate leaders under the bus. Democrats are a bit reluctant to do that. But I think the key is understanding the nature of the constituency and finding the candidate mm-hmm. who can win that election, and then with time, and this is critical, and it was the key to my success here in Madison in the first time I was elected mayor in the 70s, prove that you're going to represent the people, prove that you're going to look out for their agenda, and then prove you can govern and take them with you to a more progressive position. Organized labor in Madison in the 1970s was horrendous. Public employees unions were not looking out for women. And one of the greatest battles we had was the city's efforts that were successful to hire women firefighters. Mm-hmm. The women... The firefighters union adamantly was opposed to it. And if you look at the list of some of the alders, particularly so-called downtown progressives, mm-hmm. they voted against the appointment at that time of Judith Pedersen to the Police and Fire Commission, and I had nominated her as an appointee of somebody who was going to work diligently to change the hiring standards for the department and make it more inclusive to include women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was that battle itself, but not only was there that battle, but then we had to move forward with the firefighters union and keep them, in effect, on the progressive side. Because in terms of elections, they've been key to my first victory.
Mm-hmm. Paul, we need to leave it there. We appreciate you joining us. Always good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again next month. And
well, hopefully it'll be as warm then as it is now.
Yeah. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Appreciate your
Paul
point
Simon, former Madison mayor. We're coming right back after this.
Stand up for your rights. Get up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's very clear you're being unfair, King, and we're going to run it all away with no more king.
We're going to elect a president.
No more king.
He's going to do what the people want.
No more king.
We're going to run things our way.
No more king.
Nobody's going to tell us what to do.
To put it kindly.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning. We're all holding hands, trying to make it through the next 3.5 years.
That's right.
And we'll be here for you.
7:52. Got a few more minutes to go here before Stephanie Miller.
I mentioned earlier that they were flooding social media with old mass protests, trying to discredit the major protests, No Kings protest around the nation.
Yeah.
The right wing was very busy putting videos out there of protests that don't actually happen, now. They happened many years ago.
Yes.
And one of the big ones, and this is what the Post read, countless leftist mouthpieces on X, including Elizabeth Warren, have been caught sharing a 2017 MSNBC video from a Boston counter-protest to make it appear as footage of the 2025 No Kings rally after lower-than-expected turnout. No, the turnout was rather large.
It's huge.
I don't know. We saw a lot of homemade signs, a lot of costume characters out there. I think this is a fantastic turnout. Even in Middleton, one of the corners in Middleton was jam-packed with people holding signs and protesting. What a great sight that was. And tomorrow, thanks to a listener who sent us the audio, Judge Everett Mitchell's opening speech, which was very difficult to follow. John Nichols did a good job right afterwards, but it was a great speech. We'll get a little piece of that tomorrow. So it was just a fantastic speech.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get to we have CJ on the line.
Got a bunch of calls.
Let's
actually
go to
We're
CJ
not be
quick.
Able to get to all of them.
What do you got, CJ?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi. Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call. I saw some videos where newscasters were rocking around to these protests, and mm-hmm. I love where they asked them why they were protesting,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have any idea.
Mm-hmm.
So what is he doing as a king? They didn't have any idea.
Yeah.
And Mr. Soglin talked about getting the youth vote, Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, blowing up. Gentlemen, the churches are packed, the youth are looking for positive messages, and they're finding it on the Republican side.
But the message that Charlie Kirk had wasn't a positive one. It was a horribly negative one. It was masked in Christianity.
Really?
It was masked in Christianity. It pretended to be a religious point of view, and it poisons religion.
Country. That's just a terrible message, isn't it, guys? Well, that's why
I think it's more detailed than that.
And millions of youth are headed towards the conservative side, as you guys.
Well, you can say that.
Crazy people like Mandani,
yeah.
A communist, Marxist.
Well, you know, he look, we'll see how successful he is. We'll see how successful he is on that, CJ.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, right. We're going to take a next caller here. It's Charles. What do you got for us, Charles?
Charles got a couple of minutes.
Good morning, guys. Man, I hate I had to call. Yeah. He had to come before me. He spews. What he does is he really shows his racism. He does. Mandami hasn't done anything to anyone except for talked about trying to help everyday normal citizens. One thing you don't hear coming from the right anymore is helping people. It was all about, oh, the grocery prices. We got to bring prices down. Housing. Donald Trump has not said one thing about helping everyday normal citizens.
Exactly.
Good point.
I was calling about the protest. My wife and I went down to Cathedral Park in Milwaukee, and it was amazing. Earl was the MC. He did a great job. Maggie Dawn had a speaking part. Mm-hmm. She did great. It was terrific to see all humans out there, different shades, just enjoying themselves and trying to save the democracy of this country. There was no hate speech. There was no, we hate America. None of that.
Right.
And I think Republicans are butthurt because there were no issues and they thought they were going to be. I was glad of the time limit thing. From 11 to 2 o'clock, you disperse, because if you let it linger on, that gives the opportunity for the hooligans that they want to come in and disrupt things and then have broadcasted all over the news. Oh, look at the riots. They're tearing up stuff. We thought it was fantastic. Couldn't ask for a better day.
Exactly. All right, Charles, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, great point of view, and that's what happened during the No Kings rallies. Now let's go to Tim Burchett. He's a Republican, and he was out at Burger King. Let's listen.
Hey, everybody. Congressman Tim Burchett. Here at your friendly neighborhood Burger King, enjoying my No Kings Day with some traditional flame broiled goodness in my hand right now. Could you imagine the Democrat Party calling about No Kings when they literally elected their candidate for president, Kamala Harris, with no election? Imagine that.
Man.
The irony of it all. We don't have a king in this country. We've got a president. He's doing a pretty darn good job.
All right. He also wrote, celebrating the fact that I don't have a British accent with a charbroiled Whopper in my hand. Okay, wait a minute. You know, that voice sounded familiar. Could you play 165 for me here? Let's listen to this. Because I think this is with the British accent, though.
Okay.
This is Tim Burchett, I think.
Ouchie, Captain, at Cappy's Drive-In at 62nd and Fond du Lac. If you and your crew feel like you've been in the brig on bread and water for days, Cappy's is the port where the best hamburgers are to be found for only 15 cents.
All right.
I think you're right.
See, it's very close. Yeah?
Sounds like the same guy.
I know. It does sound like the same guy. And he tipped his hand. He said, I don't have a British accent this time. Okay. All right. Well,
fabulous.
It's
hey,
the grouchy captain.
That is going to do it for a Monday. Tomorrow, Tom and Christy Manis will join us talking about some fall trip ideas this time of year with the leaves changing and all that kind of thing. Stephanie Miller's next. John, have a great day.
Yeah, well, I certainly will, and we'll be talking more about No Kings tomorrow as well.
Yes, sir.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.